You guys doing another movie review. Got a weird one today. Like, that's anything new? You know how I roll, but you know what I mean. This is a movie that I've been wanting to see for a really, really long time, and I was very excited that UK Shudder had it. I kept seeing it turn up on, best movies of the last 10 years, whatever. It came out in 2018, and it's called Possum. This is a British film. It's the feature film debut of Matthew Holness, who I guess is better known as a comedian, like he's kind of better known for his comedy roles, but he was also a short story writer. And indeed, this movie, Possum, is based on a short story that he wrote for an anthology. I think it was called Tales of the Uncanny or something like that. The movie's been changed somewhat from the short story, obviously, but he actually did adapt it from his own short story. So he wrote and directed this film. Now I'm gonna tell you from the outset, this is one of those movies, 'cause you know how I am, and it's like I really dig like this really creepy, weird, unsettling, arty-farty type of horror movies, and I know a lot of people don't like those. Now, if you don't like movies like that, if you kind of like more, gore films or more action-packed kind of stuff, you will probably hate this. I'm just gonna tell you that right now. But I really, really dug it. This movie, just the imagery in it was just so creepy and like just so unsettling. It's just like really well done. But anyway, okay, so Matthew Holness wrote and directed this movie, which was based on a short story that he wrote a few years ago. Now, what the plot of it is that there's a dude named Philip, and he's played by Sean Harris, who I immediately recognized because he played Ian Curtis from Joy Division in 24 Hour Party People several years ago, which is also an awesome movie. It's not a horror movie, obviously, but it's about Joy Division and Happy Mondays. So, go check that out if you're into that kind of music. And it also stars Alan Armstrong as his creepy ass uncle. And those are kind of, there's a couple of other minor parts in it, but those are pretty much the only two characters. Now, Matthew Holness, the writer director, he said he's always been fascinated with horror. He loves really old school horror, and he's particularly into the look of silent films, German expressionist silent films in particular. So he was curious to see if in his first film, he could do something approximating a silent film, but in the modern day. Now, this is not a silent film. There is dialogue in it, but there's not a lot of dialogue in it. So the way that it's kind of like shot the way a silent movie would be shot, but there is some talking in it, but not much. A lot of it is just kind of like the cinematography and the visuals and everything like that. It was filmed in and around like Norfolk, I think. And it's weird because they shot it like in all these abandoned buildings and these big empty fields and these big empty like riverbanks and stuff like that. So it almost has a weird like post-apocalyptic kind of look to it. It's really, really, and it just seems like very, very cold and distant. This isn't right. I would call it a character study. But it's one where you don't really get into the heads of the characters all that much just because, I don't know, it's a very off-putting film, but I don't mean that in a negative way, if that makes any sense. It's just really, but it's one of those ones that you just kind of have to let yourself, one, you have to be in the mood for it because it's pretty like bleak and depressing. It's one of those kind of movies. And it's all just about trauma and just creepy, like nightmarish kind of imagery. No, not really any jump scares. I think there might be one, but most of it is just kind of like this just really unnerving kind of dread shit that's going on all the time. But it's just like this really cold, empty, landscape. And, these depressed characters like walking through it. So, like I said, if that sounds like something you're not gonna like, then you'll probably hate this. But I don't know. I really, really liked it. So Sean Harris plays Philip. Now, he returns to his hometown. He has been somewhere unspecified, and he has lost his job for some unspecified reason. They kind of imply that maybe it had something to do with pedophilia, but you don't really know. It's like you don't really know if the movie's just trying to make you think that because of what happens later on. So if they're trying to like set it up, so they don't really say like why he lost his job, right? So he comes back to, I mean, he's a puppeteer. I mean, I can say that maybe the reason that he lost his job is if he's using the puppet, which is called Possum, if that's the puppet that he was using to be a puppeteer, then, and if he was doing it at like children's parties and stuff, then yeah, I can see why he probably got fired. Wouldn't even have anything to do with pedophilia, just have you know how creepy that fucking puppet is. Because the puppet is, they kind of only give you glimpses of it, like throughout the film. You do get to see it toward the end. But it's basically like a big, okay, so it has like a mannequin head sort of, but it like looks like his head. But then the eyes in it are kind of like the sort of creepily uncanny realistic eyes that they put in like cadavers and shit. So it has that for a head. And then the rest of its body is like a big giant spider body. Like it has these big, like big, huge spider legs. And it's probably like, I don't know, it's probably like 2 or 3 feet wide. So it's this big giant, and it's really, it's a great, great puppet design. It's just so creepy. I think in the original short story, Possum the puppet was built from like parts of roadkill, like a Frankenstein's monster type of scenario. But they thought maybe for the movie that would be like a little too much. So they wanted something that was like creepy, but not necessarily like gross or, you know, too cliched. So they came up with this, and they knocked that out of the park, didn't they? Because this is like a creepy ass looking puppet. So his puppet Possum, he's come back after getting fired from his puppeteer job for whatever reason. He comes back to his hometown, and one of the things that he wants to do is destroy this puppet. Now the puppet, obviously it represents something. You could say that it represents the past traumas that he suffered. You could even say that it represents, I thought at first that it's, they were sort of saying, look, it represents like the dark side of his personality or something like that. I don't know. I think maybe it just represents him as a, because he's the one that made it and it does look like him. So I think it does actually sort of represent his identity to some degree, I guess, is what they're shooting for with that. So when he comes back to the town, he's hanging out with his creepy fucking uncle. And his uncle was apparently also a puppeteer. Now, as I said, there's not a lot of dialogue in it, but you get the sense that at some point when Philip was a child, he must have been orphaned. And there is a mention of a fire. So I guess there was a house fire, like a house burned down and his parents were killed. And then he ended up living with his uncle. And there's the relationship between him and his uncle, even though they don't, I mean, they have some conversations, but they're very like stilted and weird. I read somewhere that I think how they got that was that Sean Harris is a method actor. So he, when he works on a film, if you don't know what that means, when he does that Stanislavski, right, method, where when he's in a character working on a film, he's that character like all the time. So him and the guy and Alan Armstrong, who played the uncle, they didn't interact with each other outside of the shooting. So for that specific reason, because they wanted the relationship between them to be so stilted and uncomfortable, which indeed it is, because this, the uncle is like super creepy. Morris is his name. Morris or Maurice. It's spelled Maurice, but I know some in the UK, sometimes they pronounce it Morris, and he pronounces it Morris in the movie. So he's basically wandering around trying to get rid of this puppet, but it seems as though the puppet keeps returning. Like he'll take it somewhere and leave it. Like he has it like in a, you know, sort of a leather, looks kind of like a bowling bag or something like that. And he has it all in there and then he'll leave it somewhere, but then he'll wake up in his room the next day and it's like hanging on the wall or it's like laying in the bed looking at him. One time he puts it in a barrel and burns it and yet still it comes back. Like he'll take it out to a parking lot and just like tear it all up. So it seems like it keeps coming back. Now, another thing too, that's going on at the same time is that right at the beginning of the movie, when Philip is coming home on the train, he's sitting by himself and he sees all of these four schoolboys like over on the other end of the train car. And he's looking at one of the kids who's drawing in a book and he sort of interacts with him. He's like, oh, hey, what are you drawing? And then this teenage kid, I mean, as most teenage kids would, was just kind of like, yeah, okay. And like, you know, whatever, creep. You know what I mean? Because Sean Harris in this looks very weird. I've seen him in other roles. I mean, he is like a normal looking dude, but in this, it seems like they wanted him to look, I mean, his face, like this frown is just kind of like pulled down, like you know, the corners of his mouth are like way down here, so he looks really creepy, and he walks like in a really creepy, like awkward sort of way. So this kid is understandably freaked out, and it's just like doesn't talk to him and everything like that. Now later on in the movie, like, you know, a little bit later, that kid goes missing. So the whole time you're kind of led to believe that Philip may be responsible for this boy's disappearance, or it could be that he, you know, the one thing I was thinking was that either Possum, the puppet, is alive and is going and doing this stuff, you know, because he seems to like black out. Like I said, like he'll go and destroy the puppet and then he'll go to sleep or pass out or something, and then he'll wake up and then the puppet will be back. So I thought that they were trying to set up, you know, that he was blacking out, that he was going and doing these things without being aware of it. It's almost kind of like Possum was like his alter ego, sort of. And they really do a good job of setting that up. I don't really want to spoil the ending, but it's not necessarily what you think it is, you know what I mean? So, but I really do like the way they do that because, as I said, they never tell you why he got fired from his job, why he's back in town, like what happened. Like, you get little hints and stuff of what happened in the past. And other people in the town seem to know him because, you know, he'll be walking around and like some kids or like there's a couple moms and they'll look over there and be like, hey, that fucking creep over there. You know what I mean? So he kind of has a reputation, but you don't know if it's just if it's because he did something or just because he's a creepy weirdo, because he is a creepy weirdo, but you don't actually know if he did anything until later on in the movie, when it almost pulls a kind of reversal on you, which I thought was a really interesting thing to do, because I wasn't sure where it was going. Like I said, it seemed to set it up that you thought that Philip was responsible for that boy being missing, but that he wasn't aware of it, like that Possum was not alive, but was a representation of this evil inside him, and he wasn't, you know what I mean? It was almost kind of like a Jekyll and Hyde type of situation. And that's not exactly what's going on, but I think it's really interesting how they did that. But yeah, so this, like I said, if you're not into arty farty horror, if you're not into, you know, slow burn kind of shit, I feel like if you liked this, gave me, okay, so this gave me an Eraserhead vibe. It gave me a Begotten type of vibe, not quite as abstract as that, but a similar kind of spirit. It does have a narrative thrust, so it does have a plot. It does have a resolution, but there's not a lot of, I mean, a lot of it is just Philip wandering through these bleak landscapes. There's all kind of like he and like these nightmarish images, like Possum turning up at various places. And like I said, that is a fucking creepy, creepy looking puppet. And the best scenes in this are the ones with the puppet where like the legs will come around the corner and then the little face comes around. I mean, it's like fucking super creepy. It's really, really well done. And it's just, I'm just saying, you don't need blood and gore, you don't need jump scares, you don't need anything like that. You just something as simple as that creepy fucking puppet just putting its little spider legs, and I'm not even scared of spiders, honestly, but it's like just putting its little creepy spider legs like around a fucking door frame or something like that. Creepy as shit. And like, you know, when he'll wake up and it'll be like staring at him and shit like that. It's fucking creepy. But yeah, so like the cinematography, it's just all very, you know, everything is abandoned and shitty looking and dingy looking and just cold and grim. And it's just, it really like takes you somewhere. You know what I mean? The score is great. I loved it. I mean, I really, really thought it was very, very good. But as I said, this is going to be one that's going to be real, real divisive. And I have seen a lot of people that thought it was like boring or, you know, oh, nothing happens in it or something like that. And like, I got that. I see that. It's not a long movie. It's only 85 minutes. But like I said, a lot of it, you really have to invest yourself into the atmosphere of it and of listening to the little bit of dialogue there is, like kind of trying to read between the lines of it a little bit, because I think there's a lot more going on behind the conversations than it appears on the surface. And as I said, I'm not going to spoil the ending, but the ending, it actually gets pretty horrific toward the end. Particularly, you know, for survivors of child abuse. So, you know, just a heads up if you don't really want to see that, because the final scene is, you know, the last bit is kind of rough to watch. But you know, it's not gory or anything like that. it's just like a creepy atmospheric, like a mood piece, with just some great acting performances, great cinematography. It's just a really, really well put together film. And if you're into just the art of film and just the art and just something that's like real unsettling like that, like I said, if you really like silent movies, you know, stuff like The Witch, or, you know, they gave me a little bit of a Babadook kind of vibe as well. Just, you know, because he had like a book where with creepy drawings in it, whatnot. So if that sounds like something that would be your cup of tea, then you would probably really, really dig this. Like I said, it's called Possum. It came out in 2018. Check out the poster. I love the fucking poster. It's just like this stark white bed with Possum coming out of the bag, like with his little legs. They don't show its face or anything like that. They just kind of show the spider legs coming out. It's just really stark and it's like really well done. But yeah, you know, definitely check this out. I saw it on UK Shudder. I think you can watch it on Vudu, if I'm not mistaken, at least as of this recording. If that sounds like something you would dig, then definitely check it out, because it's really cool that Matthew Holness, he's trying to, like a lot of comedians do, I guess, because comedy and horror go so well together. And he's kind of trying to, even though he kind of made his name doing comedy, you know, he's like, I've always been into horror. And I really particularly like, another movie that he cited as inspiration for this was Martin, the George Romero film. And matter of fact, I think he wanted John Amplis, the guy that played Martin in the original movie from the 70s, to be in this movie initially. But I guess it didn't work out. But yeah, so it has kind of that kind of vibe to it as well. But yeah, so this is his first film. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing what else he comes up with in the horror genre, because this was a real good one. So that will do it for this Flickers of Fear. And I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.